Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Baby girl. B. Mitchell Finley, High Noon in the District of Columbia. B, coming live from Richmond, Virginia. Our next guest, Mr. Logan Paulson, I'm guessing is in Ashburn, but I don't know. Hello, Logan, where are you?
I am in Ashburn. That's a good guess.
All right. I figured I was playing it safe. Do you live in Ashburn or like the surrounding area there? Or are you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I live out here. Yeah.
How old are your kids again?
So my son is 9 and my daughter's 6. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
The Young Bucks.
School out yet? Yep. Or you got another week or what?
We got another week. So my son is pulling his hair out. He's ready to go. But, you know, just a couple more days and we'll be in summertime, you know, swimming pools and all that fun stuff. So
there you go. We're talking with Logan Paulson, does a ton of content with the Commanders. He's going to be part of the television team with B. Mitch on the preseason games on NBC4. Going to be a lot of fun watching those. Logan, I asked this question earlier in the program. We've now, and you've seen more than I have, but we're through rookie minicamp and all three phases, I guess, of OTAs. Minicamp next week. Where is this Commanders team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question, and it's kind of hard to say. I think, you know, earlier in like the first kind of block of OTA practices, I was like, man, this offense is looking pretty good. Sam Howell's looking pretty good. You see the diversity of kind of offensive philosophy, and I thought the defense, you saw the pieces, the young pieces especially, kind of coming along in a nice way. I think there's been a slight hiccup in the road, slight bump in the road over for Sam Howell the past couple days of practice. Now there's a lot of reasons for why that could be. You know, the defense has just been playing lights out. They're starting to match coverage concepts better. They're changing the emphasis of practice, all those different things. But I do think that, you know, if you would ask me last week, I'd have been very, very confident. This week, I'm kind of a little bit more cautious. And again, we're in a weird phase of, you know, off-season evaluation because it's like, you know, we've had 6 practices. So what kind of like drastic conclusions can you make from that? I will say I've been super impressed with Eric Bieniemy and how he's approaching the installations for this offense, all the detail that he's coaching with. I think the offensive playmakers are kind of as advertised. I look at the tight end group specifically and say, man, they've got a lot of guys that can make plays on the football there. Logan Thomas looks great. You know, the utilization package for Antonio Gibson is great. But, you know, like, unfortunately, like, despite having all those playmakers, the offense is only going to go as Sam goes. And like I said, first 3 practices, awesome. You know, looked like he was going to the Hall of Fame. And obviously he's slowed down a little bit since then. So not necessarily good or bad, just kind of an observation of his practice progression.
Just the talk, like Eric, you know, you hear about his intensity and things of that nature. How are you noticing people responding to him in a, I would say, positive manner? You know, do people seem to be, you know, going along with who he is?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think if you were to talk to EB, you'd like him. I mean, he's a very likable, charismatic guy, but who has a very high standard. And I don't think there's anybody on this offense that is opposed to hard coaching, at least that I've seen. And I think he's kind of able to walk that line in a nice way of being very, very challenging and being very, very demanding, while also being somewhat charismatic and somewhat likable. And I think that comes across at practice. You know, he'll yell at guys. You can hear him yell at guys. But he's also kind of cutting up and making sure guys are having a good time. And the practices, the OTA practices are pretty challenging for the skill position guys because they're running so much pass volume at the moment. But, you know, guys are out there with pep in their step. And that's the other thing, B, and is that the standard, man, the standard that he's setting is so high. The level of detail that he's coaching with is so high. So you know, quite frankly, you know, even if the guys didn't like it, I do think this is the way to kind of get a more productive offense, right, is the small details that lead to big results.
Talking with Logan Paulson here on the BetQL guest line. You can give Logan a follow on Instagram at Logan_Paulson82. So, dude, I want to circle back to the Howell stuff because I agree with you. You know, watching, I guess, last Wednesday versus watching this Wednesday, I think fans' expectations need to be a little more realistic. And that's not to say that he's not good, but this is a quarterback with virtually no experience, and it's going to be volatile. Do you see it that way? Do you think the experience level could change by the time we get to September, or is he going to need 6-8 games? Like, are we going to blink the calendar's Halloween approaching Thanksgiving before we really kind of have a good idea of what he is?
Yeah, I mean, I really think it comes down to Eric Bieniemy and how he chooses to utilize Sam and what he feels like Sam can do well. Because I do think there is a pretty strong correlation between, you know, the first 3 days there was a little bit of, you know, kind of easier throws, easier reads, getting the ball out of his hand quickly, and I thought he handled that really well. And then as they've progressed into kind of more shot plays down the field, now it's important to note the defense, you know, they've had 6 days of practice to kind of get used to what the offense is doing. And in their walkthrough period, they're walking through the offensive concepts and formations they're going to see in practice. So they do have a little bit of an edge. And as that edge and as those windows get smaller, the stress is much, much higher on Sam. So I do think that's important to note. They're not the offense isn't game planning for the defense, and it puts Sam in some challenging positions. I do think I've been impressed with some of the stuff he does, the arm talents there, the poise, the ability to learn the offense, all those kind of things. But I do think he's a young football player in a very complicated offense. And if EB is not at 100%, which is an unrealistic expectation of a play caller all the time, like, Sam's going to go through some struggles. And I think that that's totally reasonable. And I think fans need to be ready for that. That doesn't mean he's not going to be productive and have a good year and throw for 3,500 yards or whatever it is, but he's also going to have some hiccups in the road. So I do think that that's important for people to kind of hear and internalize. And, you know, there's going to be some up and downs like there are with all players, especially young football players.
I just think we're in a position where people compare guys that are finished products with guys that are just starting. And to expect him to be anywhere close to what Eric was dealing with last year with Pat Mahomes, I think those people aren't being truthful or being fair.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. He's a generational talent. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but he is this generation's quarterback. He's this generation's Montana, Marino, whoever it is. And to compare a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame to a guy who was a fifth-round pick who's a second-year starter – it's just a totally unrealistic expectation in a new offense. You know, everyone says, oh, well, he did, you know, Patrick Mahomes made this great evolution from year one to year two, but it was in the same offense under the same coaching, and the coaches really got to know him. This is his first offseason in this offense with Eric Bieniemy. And I think that is a very, you know, it's so hard to learn offenses. It's hard to learn West Coast offenses because of the verbiage. And there are going to be some growing pains here. And I just think it's important people kind of understand that.
Dude, Logan, it is not just too much of a stretch. It is downright stupid to compare Howell with Mahomes, even though it's the same offense. But I'd argue, I mean, you want the same offense. Doug Peterson's running largely the same offense in Jacksonville. I wouldn't even compare Trevor Lawrence to Mahomes.
Right.
You know, the expectations are just have to be recalibrated.
I mean, I don't know. You guys are more dialed in with the radio show getting fans and stuff. But are people making comparisons to Mahomes, and are they expecting that level of production? As like, I'm asking you guys.
No, but I get enough comments that are like, yeah, you know, sure they had Mahomes and Kelce, but EB can bring the rest of this here. And I think that's just such a reach.
Yeah, it's a reach.
I think, though, Logan,
I look at the way that they ran it in Kansas City. I felt that Kelce is exceptional tight end. I believe they have enough receivers here where Eric can utilize those receivers in ways that Kelce was used and still build some of those matchup advantages for this team. And you don't have to have that tight end of that caliber to have success in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think when you look at the skill position players here compared to Kansas City, I think there's definitely an edge here. But I think it's also important, and I think to your point, B, like they will find ways, creative ways, to get the playmakers here the football. Logan Thomas, he's going to get his touches, obviously, being tight end, and the tight end being such a big feature of that offense. But I think Terry's going to get touches. Jahan's going to get touches. Curtis is going to get creative touches. And all of those, you know, the 110, 115 catches that Travis Kelce had last year will be distributed more evenly amongst those guys. So I do think that when you look at this offense, it'll be similar. There'll be comparisons, obviously, because it's a very similar offense in terms of verbiage and philosophy. But in terms of how it's executed, it'll look drastically different. And I think you can see that when you look at Kansas City over the last 10 or 15 years since Andy Reid has been there. You know, with Alex Smith, they were kind of a run-first, play-action, shot team. And then when Tyreek Hill was the guy, they were a much more vertical passing game with Patrick Mahomes. And when Tyreek Hill left, then you saw kind of the advent, the emergence or the sustained production of Travis Kelce and how they emphasized getting him the football. So I think they understand that. Like when you hear EB talk, like that's something he's always kind of iterating, is you have to find ways to maximize your playmakers. The thing that I keep getting hung up on is how does Sam allow him to do that? And, you know, there's going to be a lot of growing required over the next, couple of months to make sure that all these playmakers, which everyone is so excited about, can get the football from the signal caller.
Talking with Logan Paulson here on the BetQL guest line. Give him a follow on Instagram at Logan_Paulson82. Two specific position groups I want to talk to you about. I got to talk to Todd Storm yesterday, and I really enjoyed it. He's getting a huge opportunity, obviously, to get bumped up to the top tight ends coach. And losing Armani Rogers sucks. I get that. And you hate it for the kid, too, who's worked so hard and you know, converted from a college quarterback. It's a great story, and you hope he's back this time next year from the Achilles, whatever ends up happening there, right? But I do think people are perhaps sleeping on, because a lot of the conversation has been about Cole Turner, who looks impressive. He looked impressive this time last year. I think Logan Thomas looks great and could have a really big year.
I mean, I totally agree. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's one of the most fun groups to watch at practice. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a tight end, but obviously Logan Thomas, like you talked about, is kind of, he's not this overly sudden kind of short area guy, but he's a guy who's a huge man, great feel for zones. And you can see that feel and the chemistry with him and Sam Howell, especially on tight window throws, starting to emerge. And also, I think John Bates deserves a ton of credit. They had a red zone period yesterday where, you know, he probably caught five balls, and people sleep on him because he's not like this flash, you know, receiver that's going to run a 4-5 at you know, a tight end. But he's a big guy, again, understands zones, great hands. He can make those plays in those tight windows. He's not going to, you know, burn guys on a choice or anything like that, but he can catch the football at a high level. And so I think having both those guys who are really good football players starting to grow in the offense is great. Cole Turner, like you mentioned, I think you see his twitch and his suddenness. And again, it's someone very exciting. And then Curtis Hodges is a guy that every day I think gets a little bit better. And, you know, he played receiver. He's 6'8", he's 250. And you see him being able to beat corners. You see him being able to work on linebackers. And I look at it and I say, wow.
His size is absurd.
His size is crazy. That whole group is a bunch of freaks. And so having those four guys with all that pass-catching upside, all that length, all that kind of ability, I think it's pretty cool. And you see EB kind of understanding that, getting those guys in the field. You know, they had a gotta-have-it situation yesterday. And instead of bringing out all the receivers, he brought out all the tight ends, and they were all going to go for a jump ball. And I thought, wow, that is just an innovative way to think about these situations and try to get good, you know, specialize in terms of getting your playmakers on the field. So I think that group is going to be really exciting. And I know Armani was a guy that I was incredibly excited about, and I'm devastated that he's hurt. But I do think if you're a fan of this team, they've done a good job of finding just a bunch of physical freaks, you know. And, like, I can't think of a room, you know, that had this kind of size and length and athleticism all kind of bundled in. Now, it's unproven, obviously, but it is an exciting group.
I think Logan's proven at this point, but he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm saying outside of Logan, Bates will have a different role this year. But right. I agree. I'm excited for that group for sure.
Are you noticing the competition level going up a little bit? Because, you know, when you have these coaches that could be a little hyper, it ramps up the competition. So Jack and Eric, and I'm not trying to act like they're going to be battling each other in practice, but you know what? It could be interesting because I think having a strong defense helps offense and vice versa.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. And I think, you know, last last practice specifically kind of favored the defense. The defense made some plays, and you see the emotion that that group is playing with. And I think, like you said, like people need to understand, I think, that offense kind of dictates how good your defense can be in practice. If your offense is just okay, your defense will just be okay because they can't, there's nothing for them to match. And yeah. So now that I think there's like this standard set offensively and guys are making plays and there's a little bit of offensive nuance this year that's kind of challenging defensive rules, you see the defense getting a little fired up and a little, you know, a little ornery, and the offense is kind of the same way. So I think it's great to have a competitive environment, and it's great to see both sides of the football kind of playing with a certain level of emotion. Now, I don't know if that, you know, comes from the coaches or they've just done a good job of bringing in the right type of guys, but you know, that's a conversation for Jack Del Rio and EB.
Talking with Logan Paulson, ton of content with the Commanders. You can hear him on the Take Command podcast with R. Craig Hoffman. Two things I want to point out. So I got to talk to Todd Storm yesterday, and he proposed that he believes they have the tallest tight end group in the NFL. I mentioned that on my podcast last night, Beltway Football. Go ahead, subscribe to that. That Storm suggested that, and I challenged any listener to find it out. Shout out to my guy Braden, who just texted me. According to his research, the Skins do have, the Commanders do have the tallest tight end group in the NFL. 6'6" is the average. Bears right behind them at 6'5" and the Rams are at 6'5". So do what you want with that information. I'm excited about the tight end group, and losing Rodgers sucks, but I think there's a lot of talent there. People get caught up in the talent at wideout and maybe what they have at running back. I do want to talk to you about another position group that I at least am waiting to draw my conclusions, and it's the O-line.
Yeah.
You're going into a season where the O-line underperformed last year. You're going to have four new starters. And yep. Depending what, if you want to call Cosme a returning starter, but you're moving him position wise, what do you think of this group?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the biggest question because, you know, the format of practice at OTAs has been very limited in terms of teamwork. And what I mean by that is they have one period, usually between 15 and 20 plays, where they're running offensive and defensive line work on the field. The rest of the team, quote unquote, stuff is 7-on-7. They're running like between 35 and 40 plays of 7-on-7. So, very different structure to OTAs than what I'm kind of used to and what you kind of see around the NFL, or at least you saw around the NFL when I was playing. So it's really hard to kind of get a true evaluation of those guys. And, you know, like you said, I think, you know, when Cosme was coming out, my evaluation of him was that he would be better suited to guard. You see that. You see his ability there. I think Nick Gates is a he seems like a pro's pro, man. He just seems like he's dialed in, and I think he's going to be fine at center. I think Sadiq, you know, he's a guy that I've always been infatuated with from an athletic standpoint. And you see that in flashes, but also you see him, you know, with some bad misses. So, like, can he become more consistent? I think the most consistent player on the line is your swing tackle, Cornelius Lucas, because Charles Leno's not there. So, you know, and Wiley, I think you see the tremendous foot speed and athleticism, but I have questions about his ability, you know, versus like true power rushers. And I think when Montez and Chase come back and they're here, like, can he sit a bull from a guy with 35-inch arms when your arms are 33 inches? Like, I don't know. So those are some questions I do have. I will say I do think EB, I've watched a lot of Kansas City film over the last couple months. He does a really good job, or that whoever's calling the plays there, Andy Reid, whoever it was, of insulating that group and limiting the number of true drop-back passing attempts.
They move that line a ton. And I feel like we've even seen that when they do the real 11-on-11 work at the end of practice. I feel like I've seen that. I mean, hell, how many of those snaps are we really seeing with the ones out there? Maybe 20? Yeah. And yeah. I feel like you see that a third of the time or something. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So it's hard to get an evaluation, but I will say the precedent set by Kansas City and how they call plays there and how they insulate that group, I think bodes well for a group that's like a little bit in flux at the moment. You know, so I think you feel pretty good about what they got going on and the direction that group could be headed. But I do think it's not a group that you say is going to be a top 20 group just walking them out on the field. Like, they need help from the play caller, and that's how most O-lines are. And people say, you know, Kyle's offense is a very friendly to the O-line. I think this offense falls in that same category. So you can get away maybe with a little bit of uncertainty, and hopefully that group gels and starts playing up to their potential, because I do think they have some pieces with very, very high ceilings. It's just about can they get there.
The defense, and we know how well they played last year, and JP says it a lot, and I agree with him that to have that same level year after year is tough. As you watch them, do you see growth from what they were doing last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, there's not a lot of run stuff. It's all kind of, coverage and not underwear Olympics, but, you know, kind of that caliber of stuff. And I will say the thing that's been so impressive with that group is in the back end, just the communication level. You know, Cam Curl's not out there, and they've got the young safeties, Forrest and Percy Butler, out there, and those guys are playing lights out. The cornerbacks are playing great. Emmanuel Forbes is doing a great job. Quan at the nickel has been great. It's not like they're individually playing great. It's like they're playing great as a group. They're creating tight throwing windows. They're matching concepts well. They're communicating well. And that's something that I think early on in the OTAA process last year, they were a little bit lacking, you know? And so to see them kind of be a little bit ahead of where they were last year, I get really excited, because I do think that group, as much as people talk about the defensive line, is going to be the difference maker in keeping them a top 10 group this year, is the coverage in the back end. And so to see that kind of production already, to see that kind of chemistry already, I think bodes really, really well for this team and for that side of the football.
I'm with you there. I think you talk about the tight windows to throw in. I think that's why I think Howell's really struggled when they do red zone work. And I think it's because of how well that defense has tightened up, and he's willing to sling it a little. And I think that's going to be a real area he has to figure out what a tight window is in the NFL and how quick they close.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then, like you said, like he's past couple days have been a little rough for Sam, but I also think that defense deserves a lot of credit.
So. Sure. And they're starting to know all the plays that are coming, which happens in every summer offseason work too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also important to know, like, you know, when I was playing, coaches would always say, man, that day 4 or 5 of install, there's a lot of volume in of plays. Guys are having a hard time kind of keeping up with everything. And so I would imagine that's the same thing here, right? They're kind of in that, you know, 5-6 day range. They're going to have a hard time. So this is definitely something to be expected. The defense is ascending. Offense has a lot of stuff in. Like, this is very common. So, you know, no reason to freak out, but, you know, just observations of 6 practices. So
one more you can tell me if you agree with. You got 2 stud D linemen that are complete dogs that know that it's a pass play every time, and they don't have pads so they can just blow by the offensive line on the other side.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And to that point, man, I think the O-line deserves a lot of credit, because it hasn't been like a murderer's row of pass rush. And there are periods that, like, specifically in 2-minute where they're told not to pass rush. But I think those guys have done a good job, and I think the protections have held up relatively well. Obviously, they're not perfect. But I think, again, that's one of the reasons you feel kind of optimistic or cautiously optimistic about that group coming along and gelling in a nice way. So, absolutely.
Let's see it with Sweat and Chase there next week. Logan, thank you for the time, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Logan right, Paulson, care, give him a follow. Does a great job at Logan_Paulson82. B, he told us he was getting that Twitter account. Still hadn't got that Twitter account, huh?
We got to keep working on it.
you got all preseason to work on him. Don't go anywhere. We got Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor, who is red hot betting the pucks, giving us a Stanley Cup preview at 12:45.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.